Well, Brother James is on a ship out in the middle of the ocean with 23 family members. Do I hear an amen? He asked us to pray for peace. But last week, Brother James gave us a word from God concerning worship. And he told us that we must worship God in spirit and in truth. In spirit, we worship through God's Holy Spirit. We worship because God's Spirit is living and alive within us. We are the temple that houses the Holy Spirit of God. God's Spirit lives in each believer. And Scripture tells us that God is seeking those to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And the truth is that Jesus is Lord. The truth is that Jesus shed His blood, died on the cross, resurrected from the dead, is alive today. We have forgiveness of sins from Him, and we have new life in Him. That's the truth. So our Lord is looking for true worshipers, worshipers that will worship Him in spirit and in truth. But what is worship? If I ask you to define worship, how would you define it? I like things simple. Penny will tell you that I'm a very simple person. I like simple. So here you go. Worship is an extreme, excessive, radical submission to God. That's worship. Worship is extreme, radical, radical submission to God. It's less of me and more of Him. It's less of my will and more of God's will. Now, what is non-worshiping then? Non-worshiping is there is no submission to God, and it's more of me and God's not even in the equation. Do you see the difference? Worship is radical submission. Non-worship is it's all about me and not about God. You see, Israel knew about worship. When they were in the desert, they carried the altar of God with them. And every evening when they came to a place to camp, the first thing that they did is they set up that altar and they set up that tent. Why? Because they knew that they needed to worship. They knew that they didn't wait until the Sabbath day. They knew that they worshiped every day that they walked the face of this earth. So they set up that altar, they set up that tent. So if Israel went through all of that effort to set that altar and that tabernacle up, if you will, why? Why is worship so important? Look at James 4:8. Read this with me, please. Come near to God, and He will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. You see, when we worship, we draw near to God. And when we draw near to God, what happens? He draws near to us. So worship is very important. But the Bible tells us that we should have a lifestyle of worship. What? The Bible tells us that we should have a lifestyle of worship. Now, what does that mean, a lifestyle of worship? How can you have a lifestyle of worship? Well, understand corporate worship, where we all come together, we sit here in the sanctuary, and we sing praises to God, we pray to our Lord, we love on one another. That's what we're supposed to do, right? Love God and love others. That's what we do in corporate worship. But what in the world does it mean to have a lifestyle of worship? It's interesting. Look at Romans 12:1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a, what kind of sacrifice? Holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper what? Does this say anything in there about gathering together as a corporate community? Nope. It says that we are to be a living sacrifice. And that's important because you remember during that day, sacrifices were dead. They would bring the lamb in or the goat in or the pigeon or the dove or whatever, and they would sacrifice that animal as a substitution for yourself, and then they would lay that animal on the altar. Oh, you getting this? They would lay that animal on the altar. We are being told that we are to be a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. A living sacrifice is like coming to this altar, clearing the altar off, laying yourself on the altar, and saying, "Here I am, Lord. I am yours. Cleanse me of my mess ups. Cleanse me of all the things that I've got problems with. Cleanse me of my addictions, whether it's drug or porn or chocoholicism." Is that a word? Chocoholicism? It is now. Whatever the addiction is, Lord, cleanse me from it. Take every sin that I have, Lord, and cleanse me. I am yours. I am dying on the cross. I'm crucifying myself. I am yours. I want more of you and less of me. I am a living sacrifice. Do you get that? Do you see how that works? I'm a living sacrifice. Walking, talking, living sacrifice. I've crucified myself on the cross with Jesus. Now I don't live. It's Jesus who lives within me. I'm a living sacrifice. Get rid of my sins. Get rid of my idols. Anything that's more important in your life than God is an idol. We're asking God. We're saying, we will give these things up for you. For you, we will give these things up. Lord, cleanse me so I can serve you. I want to be a living sacrifice where it's not my will, but it's your will. It's not my way, but it's your way. It's not my spirit, but it's your spirit. A lifestyle of worship is one that aims to honor and please God in everything that you do every day. That's a lifestyle of worship. Now, how do we do that? We're told to have a lifestyle of worship. We're told that we should have more of him and less of me. We're told that we are to die to the cross, crucify ourselves to the cross, and live for Christ. How do we do that? Well, God gives us a very special power and a very special way of doing that. Let's look at Galatians, the 5th chapter, verses 16. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Do you see that? God gives us his Holy Spirit. That Spirit enables us and gives us power to overcome temptation and sin and to reject the ways of the world. The Holy Spirit changes the want-tos in our life. We don't want to do those things any longer because we want to please God. Walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. You got God the Father, the Creator, God the Son, the Redeemer, and God the Holy Spirit, the Enabler, who gives us the power to live godly lives. In fact, I think it says here in just a second, to keep in step with the Spirit. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you just want to do. The Spirit should be changing you and transforming your heart to where you don't want to do those things anymore, giving you the power to live a life that pleases God. Now, then Paul tells us, look, these are the acts of the flesh, and these are lifestyles he's talking about. All of us have oops moments, but these are lifestyles. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, which is corruption, idolatry. Anything that's more important to you than God is an idol. Witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, those that who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. So what Paul is doing, he's laying out for us those lifestyles are fleshly. Stay away from them. God is giving you His Holy Spirit. It lives within you. That Holy Spirit will give you the power not to live like that. The Holy Spirit will change your want to's to where you will want to be a worship person all the time, a person that has a lifestyle of worship. Then he talks about what a lifestyle of worship looks like. Man, it's beautiful. You ready? But the fruit of the Spirit is what? What's the first one? Love. Man, oh man. You see, the Holy Spirit puts a new heart in you when you accept Christ as your Savior. And I'm going to tell you, you can't love your spouse like you should unless you've got God's Spirit living within you. Because He will give you a new heart and give you a love for your spouse like you're supposed to have. It's a love that's deep. It's a godly type of love. So this Spirit that lives within us, that Spirit gives us love. It gives us joy. It gives us peace. It gives us patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. He said, man, there is no law when you look at these kinds of things. They're free-flowing. That is the transformation that happens to you when God's Spirit gets within you. And when you have that transformation, now you can live a lifestyle of worship. You won't live a lifestyle that was in the previous chapters or verses because you won't want to. He says, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep what? In step with the Spirit. Now, this is how you live a lifestyle of worship. When somebody is hating on you, you love them. When someone has a problem or you have a problem in your life and others look at you and say, man, why are you joyful when you're going through this rough time in your life? You can say, I got Jesus. I got Jesus. I got joy in my life no matter what. You show peace when somebody wants to start a fight with you. You show patience when someone is on your last nerve. You got anybody in your life that gets on your last nerve? I don't want to see any hands this morning. Keep your hand down. You show kindness when somebody's in need. You show goodness when somebody treats you badly. You show faithfulness when others think there's no hope. You show gentleness when somebody is fragile. And you show self-control when everybody else is doing something that you don't want to do. You show self-control and you don't do it. That is a lifestyle of worship. A lifestyle of worship. Now, Scripture says that it's the fruits of the Spirit. So really what you are when you walk around all day long, you're a fruit tree. And you're walking around and somebody needs love. And I'm going to give you a little love in here this morning. You need some love. And you need some kindness. I'm going to give you a little kindness this morning. And you, man, I'm not sure what you need. You're looking pretty good. and you, man, you've been hating on me, but I'm going to love you anyway. See what God's Spirit creates within us a heart. And as James says, that said last week, we shine. The countenance of God's Holy Spirit shines and it comes out within us. And it's like fruit. And that fruit you're able to see that fruit in those who have God's Holy Spirit living within them. And when there is a need that someone does want to start a fight with you, you don't start a fight. You put up a peace sign. How can you fight with somebody when you give them a hug? Huh? It's hard to fight with someone who doesn't want to fight. That's how you live a lifestyle of worship. And it's every minute of every day. Now I want to ask you a question. Why did God create you? I hope it's not to get up and go to work in the morning and then come back home in the evening. I hope that's that, because for 42 years I've been at this company, and every day it is like trying to push a little harder, a little further to get the company going a little bit further in the right direction for 42 years. Surely that's not why God put me on earth. Why did God put you on earth? To glorify Him. You were created to glorify God. How do we glorify God? Through a lifestyle of worship. That's why we were created. There's no other reason. And if we get that, all of life hangs on the balance. Everything else fits. You don't have to worry about job. You weren't created for that job. You were created to glorify God. You don't have to worry about anything, because everything hangs off of loving God and loving others. That's how we glorify Him. And then everything else hangs on that. And when we got that right, that, if that's the foundation of our life, everything else fits. Why were you created? One more time. Why were you created? And how do you glorify Him? By having a lifestyle of worship. Now, Jesus told us, He said, you're like a candle. When you come to know me and love me, you're like a candle. And you can't help it. You're just going to beam. You're just going to shine. When God's Holy Spirit is in you, you have this countenance about you and a love about you that you just can't help it. So you're like this candle. And Jesus said, now, look, if I take this candle and create this candle, it's there for a purpose. What's that purpose? To shine. But that's probably going to burn me. But if I cover it up, you can't see it. So Jesus said, why would I do that? Why would I take a candle, and why would you put a basket over it so that you can't see it? That's not how this works. He said, you guys that have been created, you're like a city at night sitting up on a hill, and the lights are beaming out everywhere. That's a lifestyle of worship. You've been created to shine. You've been created to have a lifestyle of worship. You've been created to love others who don't love you. You've been created to treat others nice, even though they're not nice to you. You've been created not to worry about your job like everybody else does, because we know that we got a God who can do anything. We shine by worshiping. I want you to think about this. Every minute of every day, we are either showing a lifestyle of worship or we're not. There's really no in between. We either show a lifestyle of worship or we're not. So church, let me ask you, how's your worship? Are you shining? Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we love you so much. We praise you and thank you. You are so good to us. Oh, Lord, we pray that we would have a lifestyle of worship. That, Lord, that we would give ourselves to you. We are yours. Take us, use us, mold us. Remove those things from us, Father, that are not pleasing to you. Remove those addictions and those sins and those things that we have, those idols. Remove them from our life, and may we completely give ourselves to you. Radically, Lord, may we submit to you, for that is worship. Let your Spirit speak to us now, Lord. May we hear your voice. Touch our hearts. Let us know those things that need to change so that we might better shine for you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. In the name of the one who makes us shine. Amen. The altar is open this morning for all that need to come. If you're not shining as brightly as you'd like to,